I actually want to start not from the 30,000 level, but an amazing hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic narration that Ahlul Jannah, that the people of Jannah, are 20 wa mi'at saf. They are 120 rows. How long are those rows? SubhanAllah, only Allah knows. But they are 120 rows, the people of paradise as a whole. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 80 of them are from my ummah, and 40 are from the rest of the umam. 80 rows are from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and 40 rows are from the umam, from the nations that came before. Now, obviously, you could use a scientific explanation and you could talk about the length of the life of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with him being the last prophet. The length of the existence of this ummah as it undergoes test after test, trial after trial, and we're still here, almost 1500 years later, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best how much longer we will be here. You could explain it that way, but you could look at it from the perspective that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed loves the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That this is a beloved nation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from this ummah. Allahumma ameen. Now, what I want you to think about for the next half an hour as we get started with the conference today, if there are 80 rows, and I don't know how many rows are in the conference room today, but if there are 80 rows, what row do you think you're in? And how do you get up to the next row, and the next row, and the next row, and the next row? Because the arrangement of those rows are not random. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُلَّةٌ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِنَ الْآخِرِينَ, that it is a large group from the sabiqun, from the forerunners, from the early ones, and a small group from the later ones. And we know, subhanAllah, that when we look at the state of our ummah as a whole, that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the best generation of my ummah is my generation, and then those that come after, and then those that come after, and then those that come after, and it continues in terms of righteousness and virtue from beginning to the end, with a decrease with every generation. But there's always a but. في كل قرن من أمتي سابقون. In every generation of my ummah, there are forerunners. But the Prophet ﷺ said that if you were to spend Uhud in gold, you would not reach even close to the rank of the first generation of the Sahaba. But the Prophet ﷺ mentioned at the same time that my ummah is like the rain. I don't know where the most benefit is in, the first drops or the last drops. But there is no one greater than those that were with the Prophet ﷺ in Badr, and then in Uhud, and then in Khandaq, and then in Bay'atul Ridwan. But the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the generation that's with Isa alayhi salam at the very end of this ummah with Jesus, peace be upon him. As Allah sends him back to this earth to establish Tawheed, to establish justice once again. And the Prophet ﷺ mentions that they are the best of this nation, of the best of this ummah. The point is that you can always find the Prophet ﷺ praising the earliest generation of this ummah, while at the same time giving us the hope that perhaps you can be amongst those people from the later parts of the ummah, that you could be amongst those forerunners from the later parts of the ummah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up to you by virtue of the same virtues that were manifested by that earliest generation, a position next to them. Should you strive the way that they strove? Should you love them, and in the process of loving them, want to be like them, and in the process of wanting to be like them, affect on this earth to a degree that earns you
by virtue of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a position next to them in the heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps giving us hope. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam keeps giving us hope that you have these 80 rows to work with. And row 79 is not like row 80. And row 60 is not like row 70. Standing outside of the gates of Jannah, you will want to be in the very first row. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. The second row is not like the first row. You want to be in the very first row, and the placement of people in accordance with their rank is sometimes brought upon them through a circumstance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them in this dunya, by which He elevates them to that rank. The majority of the people of Jannah are al-mustad'afin. They're weak people. They're the downtrodden on this earth. They are the people that had the most difficult lives, and so they have the easiest entrance to paradise. But it's not because of their poverty that they're entering into paradise. It is, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, the fact that poverty is less distracting to a person in their pursuit of paradise. So it's not that the circumstance itself is the reason why they're entering into paradise. Is that that circumstance was the most favorable to them to get them to that front row of Jannah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from al-ghurur, from delusion. Allahumma ameen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the poor and the downtrodden will enter into al-Jannah 500 years before those who are prosperous. Why? Bikathrat al-hisab. May Allah azza wa jal protect us because of the abundance of questioning, the asks, the accountability for the blessings that have been given to us. May Allah azza wa jal allow us to use those blessings in ways that are pleasing to Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow those blessings to become eternal blessings because they have been used for His cause. Allahumma ameen. So sometimes it's a circumstance that allows a person to wake up to the reality that they are in and the reality that they want to be in on the Day of Judgment, and to help them inch closer and closer and closer to nudge themselves between the rows. And how beautiful and sweet would it be to find yourself on the Day of Judgment in that first row and looking to your right and to your left and seeing the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. What an incredible and lofty goal. Where am I in the rows? Where do I fit in the big picture of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it arrives on the Day of Judgment for that glorious entrance into the eternal abode? Where am I, ya Allah? Am I even in the 80 rows? One of the most terrifying thoughts is that you lose faith when it counts most at the time of your death. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve us upon it until the very moment that we leave. But despite that thought that causes us to do our due diligence to make sure that we don't lose our faith, we're still taught to have hope. Anta ma'a man ahbabt. You are with those that you love. You love the prophets of Allah. You love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You love Isa alayhi salam, Jesus peace be upon him. You love Musa alayhi salam, Moses peace be upon him. You will be with them. You love Yusuf alayhi salam and you feel a deep sense of empathy, even though the story of Yusuf alayhi salam did not play out on your screen. You didn't see the images of his brothers throwing him into the well. You didn't see the slander or the injustice. You didn't see him in prison in that state. You didn't see it all play out. And what an epic movie it would be. But you love him because you've read about him and you identified yourself with that plight. And you felt an attachment, not just to his plight, but to his principles and to his morals, despite his plight. You look to your right and to your left, you find yourself next to Yusuf alayhi salam. You love the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the best of this ummah. You look to your right and to your left, You find yourself with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hope is always there. That don't settle for row 80. Don't settle for the back row. Seek to be in the very front row. And do not have a low expectation of your Lord. Instead, push yourself to your highest potential while having the best assumption of Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He can move you through those rows as He pleases, because not a single person in those 120 rows enters Jannah except by the mercy of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even you, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not even me. Until Allah embraces me in His mercy. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us from the very first row. Say it from your heart. May Allah make us from the very first row. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be from as-sabiqoon al-awwaloon, from the very first people to enter into Jannah. Say ameen. Now let's come back to 30,000 feet. And then let's come back to where we are right now. As an ummah. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about this ummah, and he speaks about the fears that he has for this ummah, of the profundity of how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns us, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always warns us by pointing to the nations that came before us. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Sayusibu ummati da'ul umam." Just look at the wording. My nation will be struck by the diseases of all nations. My ummah will be struck by the diseases of the ummah. And the companions say to the Prophet ﷺ, what is da'ul umam? What are the diseases of the ummah? And the Prophet ﷺ goes on to explain, al-ashar, al-batar. Says ﷺ, a person who denies their blessings. And in the process of that, becomes batar. They become arrogant and they use those blessings in terrible ways. If you don't know the source of your blessings, then your blessings will inherently be a curse upon you and upon those who interact with you, because you will use those blessings in all the wrong ways. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at-takathur fil mal, al-hakum at-takathur. The abundance of wealth and people competing over wealth. And as a result of that comes a tashahun, that hatred. Because people start to hate each other and fight over wealth. And as a result of that comes a tabaghul. You'd want people to lose their blessings. You want people to fall out of good so that you can occupy what you think is their position of good. So instead of competing over the front lines of Al-Jannah, you're competing over the loftiness of this world. And in the process, you lose yourself. You lose your morals. You lose your principles in trying to bring someone else down. What tahasud. And so you start to envy one another. And you don't envy one another on behalf or on the part of that person's excelling in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the virtuous things that have been manifested by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but you envy over one another, or you envy one another over material things, become so superficial, and then comes al-baghi, then comes oppression, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says wal harj, until it comes to killing. People start to murder each other over this stuff. At the end of the day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, in brief, that what is striking you as an ummah is not unique to you as an ummah. Nor are you immune from what has struck the ummah that came before you. You know, we always talk about this, that when you mention Canadian Muslims, or you mention American Muslims, or you mention a Muslim minority, the biggest mistake of that minority is to assume that it is immune to the same problems that strike the majority. We make that mistake, we put our blinders on, we start to think we're not affected by our environment. We can build our bubble. And in the process of that, we are immune. While every study will show us that we're not immune. And the Prophet ﷺ is saying that's not just true in the present sense. That's true when you look to the past nations that came before you. سَيُصِيبُ أُمَّتِي دَاءُ الْأُمَمِ. You're struck by the same diseases that struck them. The same things that brought them down. That's why Allah tells you about them in the Qur'an. not so that you can mock them, so that you can heed the lessons by which they became a mockable ummah, so that you don't become like them, so that you don't fall off the way that they fell off. Everything the Prophet ﷺ mentions about corruption, there was corruption before, corruption in theology, corrupt preachers, corrupt tyrants, corrupt kings that became tyrants, corruption at every level, the loss of trust, all of that already showed itself to you in the previous umam. So don't crawl into the lizard's hole behind them and adopt that corruption in your theology and in your principles and in your morals. So we're not unique in terms of the challenges. The challenges are all there. But what makes us different in that regard is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will indeed test this ummah more severely in this world. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that my ummah is marhuma, ummatan marhuma. It's an ummah that has upon it the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Adabuha fi dunya. Its hardship is found in this world. Through the earthquakes, through the tests, through the trials, through the poverty, through the difficulties that we face. Its adab, its hardship is found in this dunya. Just like when we say that Allah tests those whom He loves at an individual level. Likewise, Allah tests this ummah, and this is a beloved ummah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is tested. And in the process of that test, people are woken up to a greater reality. Not one that just became a reality, but one that they just became aware of by virtue of the difficulty that came to them. People are woken up to the lofty cause and rank that they are to aspire to as the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it's not just kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, you're the best nation that was produced for the people. There are clauses there. You are a rectifying ummah. You are a correcting ummah. You are an ummah that is meant to bring about a certain change that affects humanity. You're not just an ummah that's here to exist. You have a corrective role. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent, and part of his mission was to be a corrective alayhi salatu wasalam to the deviant narratives that had overtaken society in regards to theology, and to the complete indulgence in all that which was displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he was a corrective sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his ummah is an ummah that corrects, that enjoins good and that forbids evil, that believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of judgment, it's an ummah that is there to bear witness to that which is truth. When Noah stands in front of his people, when Nuh alayhi salam stands in his people, you are brought in as witnesses for Nuh alayhi salam, for Noah, and for all of the prophets. It's a corrective ummah, and a correcting ummah that has a lofty job. So the diseases that we suffer from are not unique to us. The tests that we endure as an ummah collectively are indeed more difficult. And so when you look at this ummah and you say, why does the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam suffer so much? Two answers that seem contradictory can actually both be correct. You know what those two answers are? Why does the ummah suffer so much? Because we have diseases that we need to rectify amongst ourselves. At an individual level, we need to purify ourselves. As a community, we need to purify ourselves. We need to remove the barriers between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that serve as spiritual barriers, barriers to our success in this life and barriers to our success in the next. That's true. Allah does not change the condition of a people until they change that which is of themselves. And Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. That's true. And equally true is that this is an ummah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests with difficulty. And it's an excessive amount of difficulty. And in that process, brings about the most beautiful gems. The awe of the people. The awe of humanity. Alif lam mim. Ahasiba an-nasu an yutraku أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين.
Do people think they're not tested? Do people think they just say we believe and they're not going to be tested? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have tested those who came before you. And in that process, we will make known those who are truthful and we will make known those who are liars. Allah Azza wa Jal already knows the truthful from the liars. We will make known. Are the people of Gaza? Are the people of Gaza just becoming known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or are they just becoming known to us? Through that plight and through that circumstance, that difficulty that they face, is it that that faith was garnered overnight, or is it that it was being beautifully cultivated under a difficult siege that people have ignored for so many years, and now you're seeing it breathe in its most beautiful way? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will make known those who are truthful. ثُلَّةٌ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَقَلِينٌ مِنَ الْآخِرِينَ It's a large group of people in the beginning. The best of this ummah already passed. But some of the best of this ummah lives amongst us today and are still to come. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the best of this ummah. Allahumma ameen. You no longer have to just read about people. Now you can see people. And they are challenging you just like they are challenging humanity. We speak about it from a perspective of policy, that they are challenging the hypocrisy of the West without pause. They are challenging every so-called international structure of accountability and human rights. They are challenging every so-called free nation. They are challenging every so-called leader of the free world. They are challenging the men in suits in their palaces while they are under the bombardment of those men amidst the rubble. They are challenging every value system, every claim to morality that has been made in our lifetime. But they're also challenging us with their resilience, with their spirituality, with their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as if they're saying, look, Ya Ummah, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're doing the heavy lifting. Just carry a bit in the back. We're taking the greater share of the burden. Just carry a bit from the back. You know, subhanAllah, I remember, and I don't know why this thought comes to my mind, but subhanAllah, there was a brother in my community who anytime there was a janazah, he would insist that he would be there to carry the body. And mashallah, he was a strong brother. And the one time that he wasn't there, the body, even though it was of a lighter person, almost collapsed everyone's shoulders because we were so used to that brother up front. Every single janazah, the one janazah he missed, the body became heavier. This ummah's burden is being disproportionately carried right now by Ahl Gaza, by the people of Gaza. And they're just saying to us, just do your part. Lift a little bit on your end. We're making it easier for you because we're taking the brunt of this. Hence that hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that there will always remain a group from my ummah. Remember the 80 rows of the 120? There will always remain a group from my ummah. Always a group from my nation. ظاهرين على الحق لعدوهم قاهرين لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم. That are upon the truth, victorious, clear. They have clarity, hence they have victory. They are a thorn in the side of their enemies. They are not harmed or deterred by those who betray them and those who oppose them. And they will be in that state حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم كذلك, until the very end of time. We're watching them right now. Do you love them? Subhanallah. That dua, اللهم أني أسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات
حب المساكين. Oh Allah, I ask you for the ability to do good, for the ability to leave off evil, and for the love of the poor. The people of Gaza are not masakin. It's hard to call them masakin because they're so rich in their faith, even though they don't have anything to put in their stomachs. But if you love them, it may be that you also find yourself in a row with them, because the Prophet ﷺ praised them as being of the best of this ummah until the very end of times. But we all have to lift our share. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be in the first row that enters into Jannah. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us from as-sabiqoon al-awwaloon. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us from the forerunners, from the firsts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to enter into Jannah alongside the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the people of Gaza shahada and grant them the highest entry into al-Jannah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them victory in this life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to stand with them then and stand with them now. Allahumma ameen. Wa salli lahum wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.